Well, this morning is my first message of the new year, and it's hard to believe that we have now entered into 2018. As a matter of fact, this morning at the sound booth, I was talking with Kirk back there, and he's like, didn't we just have an anniversary common meal? Are you serious? It's been a whole year, you know? And it just seems like yesterday that we were sitting here talking about the beginning of 2017, but the reality is another year has gone by, and we continue on this journey known as life. And as we enter this new year, I think it's important that we remember to give thanks to the Lord for His hand that has been upon our lives. Now, if I'm honest, last year had its challenges for me. If you remember, it actually started out with our common meal. And I woke up that morning and was the first time I ever been sicker than a dog on a Sunday morning. And it was the first time I ever had to miss a service because of being sick. And I'm like, seriously, our 5-year anniversary? And this is how, you know, my poor wife, I had to wake her up and say, honey, at like 7:30, you're going to have to do the service. I cannot get out of bed. I am so, you know, and so that's how it started off. And also then, if you remember, early in the year, I was dealing with just excruciating nerve pain. Like I could barely stand up here and was dealing with that nerve pain. And then in April, after fighting with insurance and all that garbage, I finally got the okay to have a non-invasive outpatient surgery, right? And if you, many of you know, it ended up being extremely invasive, where my spine actually tore in that process. I had to lay on my back for 7 days straight, couldn't move, couldn't get up, couldn't do anything. Ended up spending 17 days in the hospital, missing Easter, of all things, right? Which for a pastor is like kind of the starting quarterback having to miss the Super Bowl, all right? So that's what missing Easter for me, that's what it's like, okay? Then in the hospital, you know, after Easter and after I thought I kept thinking I was going to get out, I had to learn how to stand up and how to walk again. I was having these nerve problems and I had to go to physical therapy in the hospital and actually learn how to walk again. And then after getting out of the hospital in the recovery process, my surgeon quit practicing because of her own health issues. She had some health issues and had to step out of her practice. And so somehow I slipped through the cracks, not knowing what I needed to be doing to get my back, you know, back to some semblance of normalcy. And it wasn't until just a few months ago, back in November, that I finally, you know, working through trying to figure out in terms of like, oh, well, it's been too long since your surgery and blah, 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 and going through all this, that I finally was able to get into physical therapy and now have begun this slow process of my back beginning to actually heal up and the issue from the surgery. But it'd be real easy for me to look back at this past year and complain, right, to focus on all the negatives like I did this morning. But I share those things because of this. God has challenged me to be thankful. God has challenged me to have a thankful heart, to learn to look beyond the challenges, to look beyond the difficulties of this fallen world and to focus on Him, to focus on His goodness, to be thankful in the midst of trials and struggles, to be thankful that He is with me. He is with us. He's helping us through these times. I know that it's not always easy to give thanks. When we're in the midst of those situations, when we're going through the hard times, it's not always easy to give thanks. But I believe it's something that we need to learn to do, to just stop and to give thanks. If we want to see God's will accomplished in our lives, we need to learn how to be thankful. Because I believe being thankful is a key to living the lives that God has called us to live. It's one of the keys that helps turn our situation around. And that's because it changes us. It changes our outlook. It changes our attitude. I experienced that in the hospital. I'm telling you, when I found out that I wasn't going to be able to do Easter, man, I wanted to cry. I almost want to cry right now just thinking about it. It was one of the hardest things, but the Lord just encouraged me. And in that moment, I got to see how amazing you guys are and how the church rose up and was able to go on without me. And an amazing thing happened to see what God did. And it was cool how God began to change my heart. That there is power in a thankful heart because it breeds contentment instead of resentment. And an attitude of thanksgiving, it accepts and it embraces God's will for our life. It trusts that regardless of the ups and downs, that God is still good all the time. And all the time, God is good. We have to be thankful. We have to give thanks. And it helps us embrace God's will because First Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, give thanks in all circumstances. Why? For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We are a people as Christians who have every reason to give thanks. And that's why I'm kicking off this new year with just a little two-week mini-series titled Being Thankful. Being Thankful. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up this morning to Luke 15:11. Luke 15:11. Now many of you are probably familiar with this passage. As you open up to that, you probably see the title at the beginning. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And the thing is we all know about the prodigal son, but this story actually talks about two sons, not just one son. It talks about two sons. But most of the time we focus on the first son, the one that left and then returns, the prodigal, right? That's the one that we focus on. And though he's the main focus in this parable, the reality is we can learn a lot about thankfulness or even lack of thankfulness from both of these sons. Both of these sons can teach us something as we look at them. And that's why I'm doing a two-week series, okay? So that each week we can look at one of the sons. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Luke 15, verse 11 through 27. This is what it says. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for, a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and I will go back to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up, went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let's make a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came, he called one of the servants, when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Now we're going to stop there this morning. We'll go a little bit farther next week, because we're going to focus this morning on the younger son. We're going to focus on the prodigal son. Now, the story of the prodigal son, it's an amazing story. It's a story of failure, lack of thankfulness, and redemption, becoming thankful once again. And it's a story that all of us, whether we like to admit it or not, we can relate to this story in one way or another. Because the reality is, we have all failed. We have all fallen short. Romans 3 tells us that. You've heard me say it time and time again. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When it comes to our relationship with the Lord, all of us have failed. All of us have sinned. We're all sinners. And so the question is, okay, we're all sinners. Great. What do we have to be thankful for? How can we be thankful knowing these failures, these mess-ups in our lives? Well, we can be thankful because, like the prodigal son, we have a father who loves us. A father who always allows us to come back to him, regardless of what we've done, regardless of our mistakes. You see, Romans 3:23 says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if you read the next verse, verse 24 says, And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Yes, we have fallen short. But if we've said yes to Jesus, we are justified by His grace, by His redemption in our lives. We can give thanks for the fact that Christ loves us despite our sin. Despite our sins, while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He loved us. We can give thanks because Jesus provided a way to redeem us from our sins. Now, the reality is, we have so many things that we can thank God for, right? We could sit here and we could make a list. As I look out right here, my daughter turns 13 today, and she's going to be mad at me right now as I just looked out here. But I am so thankful for my daughter, okay? You know, we have so many things that we can be thankful for. We could probably sit here and I could just say, hey, you know what? For the next half hour, we're just going to say, what do we have to be thankful for? And we could probably just spout off so many things. There are so many things that we have to be thankful for. But this morning, I just want to focus on a few things that we can actually see from this passage that we can be thankful for. Reasons to be thankful for the God that we serve. The title of my message is Thank God. And there are so many things that we can thank God for. And I want to just focus on a few that we see in this message this morning. And I want to start in the middle of verse 20. It says, But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And here's my first point this morning. We can thank God because he's always there waiting for us to return to him. He's always there, just waiting for us to return to Him. I'm a father, and I imagine a day didn't go by without this father looking and hoping for his son to come back, hoping for his son to return. I wonder how many times he stared down that road, looking, just hoping that his son would be walking down it someday. Many of you know my story, as I've shared it numerous times before in different ways. But there was a period in my life when I was in the Marine Corps that I fell in my relationship with the Lord. I began to live a lifestyle that was contrary to what I knew was right, was contrary to how I was raised and who Jesus was and who he had called me to be. But when I came to that point where I needed to return to the Father, the amazing thing is I realized that he was right there just waiting for me to come back. He was right there, and I'm so thankful for this aspect of our Father, of God, for the reality that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us, that he is always watching, waiting for us to come back to him. You see, I think so often we have this tainted view of God, and I want to illustrate this for you. I want to have my son. I asked if I could use him today. I'm going to have Toby come up here, okay? Toby is going to be my illustration for me. Toby is going to represent me, okay? This is little Darren, right? In more ways than one, all right? All right? And I'm going to represent God today, okay? And so Toby is me, and this is me, and now I'm in the Marine Corps. And, you know, I had this great relationship with the Lord, this connection, you know, hand in hand with God. And then I go in the Marine Corps, and I continue to fail, and I begin to turn my back on the Lord. Okay? Now, here's the thing. When we mess up, when we start doing the things that we know are not right and living a life that's contrary to the will of God, I think we a lot of times have this tainted view that as we turn our back on God, that God sometimes goes, yeah, fine. If you want to do your own thing, yeah, we'll see. We'll see you come running back to me here someday soon, right? We have this vision of that's kind of God that's like, okay, fine. But I got to tell you, that is not at all the God I serve. Because the God I serve, as I began to do my own thing, he was just right here. And even though I go this way, he's here. And even though I go over here, he goes with me wherever I go, and I don't realize it. And the amazing thing is that when we come to that point where we're like, oh, gosh, God, why have I walked so far away from you? And as we begin to turn around, we think that there's this huge distance that we have to make between us and God. And as we turn around, he's right there, and he immediately grabs hold of us. And I'm going to cry because this is my son. And he loves us, regardless of what we've done, regardless of the mistakes that we've made. He is right there, ready to embrace us the moment we turn around. Know that. Don't mess up like I did. But he will always be there. Thank you, Tobes. But it's a picture that he is right there. He will never leave us. He is just waiting for us to come to our senses to realize. He's like, Darren, come on, I'm right here. Come on, you know this isn't right. He's just whispering in my ear, I love you. I love you. And as I turn to him, he grabs hold of us. And when we return to him, I'm thankful for the second thing that we see here in verse 20. It says that he was filled with compassion for him. And as we reflect on these verses, the second thing is this, is we can thank God because of his compassion for us. His love and compassion for each of us. The interesting thing is that at this time, under the Mosaic law, this father actually had every right to bring this disobedient son before the elders and to have him put to death. He could have done that because he did things that he shouldn't have done. He went against the law of God. And so by Mosaic law, he could have done that for disgracing and doing what he did to his father. And the interesting thing is if what we read earlier is true, that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God, then all of us deserve to face the same judgment that the Son could have faced. Right? Because Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. So if we have all sinned, we all face the reality of death. But thankfully, like the Father in this parable, God has compassion for his people. He has compassion for us. If you finish the rest of Romans 6:23, It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." I don't know about you, but I am thankful that we serve a God of compassion. A God that doesn't give us what we deserve, but instead embraces us and pours out His love, pours out His compassion on us. That alone is reason enough to give thanks in all things because of what He does for us. But the thing is, He doesn't just not give us what we deserve. He then gives us what we don't deserve, right? Verse 22 says, "But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet.'" My third observation in this text this morning is this. The third thing I want to bring to you is we can thank God because He cleanses us and restores us. You see, back in this time, a robe was a clean garment that you would put on after you had washed. After you had been washed, you would put on this robe, this clean garment. Now the thing is that the prodigal son, he had been sleeping with the pigs, right? He was probably anything but clean. This long walk home and the dust and the muck, he was probably anything but clean. But because of his willingness to return to his father, because of his willingness to come home, the father's command makes a statement here. The father's command tells us that his grace covers his son's filth. His grace covers his son's dirtiness, covers his dirt. It's like 1 John 1:9. We actually shared this last week in our family service. It says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us," or wash us, "from all righteousness." This robe that was put on Him, it represents the robe of righteousness that Jesus, if I say and pronounce that correctly, that Jesus clothes us with as we return to Him. It's the robe of righteousness. He takes away our sin. He makes us clean and clothes us with His robe of righteousness. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for a God that doesn't leave us dirty, but that He cleanses us. He makes us new creations in Him. And then if you continue reading, after putting on the robe, it says He puts a ring on His finger. And this ring, it's a symbol. This ring is a representation of Him being restored to His original place in the family. It's the family ring. Here He had gone off. He had squandered His father's money. He had failed. He had hit rock bottom. And when He returned, He was just hoping that His dad would at least just let Him work for Him. Let Him be one of His hired hands. But His dad would have nothing to do with that idea. "No, you are my son." And He restored Him to His original position as His son, as part of the family. I'm so thankful that we serve a God of restoration. I mentioned that in the military I had fallen from the Lord for a period of time. And it was actually a youth pastor that had seen me coming out of a place that I shouldn't be in when I was home on leave. And he called me and asked if we could get together and talk. And it was then that I just shared with him. I shared with him all the mistakes that I had made, the life that I had been living. I told him that I knew I needed to get my life right with God. But one of the struggles I was having was that I had ruined the plans that God had for me. that I had felt called to be a youth pastor, but now I had squandered the chances of that happening. And I remember him looking at me and saying to my face, Darren, that is a lie of the enemy. Because we serve a God of restoration. And it was after that meeting, 2 days later, that I left from my home, transitioning from Okinawa, staying home, and now heading to San Diego, my new duty station. And immediately, I started going to a church that first night I was down there and started getting involved in this church that was in San Diego down by Camp Pendleton. And within 3 months, I was asked to be the associate youth pastor at this youth group. And when I returned home after the military, this youth pastor, the one that had challenged me, the one that had seen me coming out of this place, he had just planted a church 6 months prior to me getting out of the Marine Corps. And shortly after then attending, we started going to that church and being a part of that church. Shortly after going to that church, he asked me to become the middle school youth pastor. And I've been in the ministry ever since. Ever since that time. We serve an amazing God. A God who never leaves us or forsakes us. A God full of compassion, a full of love who meets us right where we're at, in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our struggles, a God of restoration who picks us up out of the pig pen, who picks us up out of the crud of the Marine Corps, who picks us up out of the muck and mire, and He clothes us with a robe of righteousness. Not because of anything we've done, but because of His sacrifice and His love for us. And we should be thanking Him every day for who He is and all that He does for us. I don't know what your year was like this past year. It may have been amazing. It may have been one of the toughest years of your life. But either way, I can say this. Without God, it would have been worse. Without God, you probably wouldn't have gotten through it. And so I encourage you to take time to reflect on it and to give thanks. Lord, thank you. Because as I look back, I see in those times, in those difficulties, how God was with me and how I've grown and become stronger now in who I am. Don't take for granted God's hand upon our lives, whether we are aware of it or not. Because some of us, like, what? I've done this all myself. Many people try to tell me that. Well, yeah. But you don't understand God's little hand there making things work around you. Remember that being thankful in all circumstances is one of the keys to living the lives that God has called us to live. It helps us come to a place of contentment. That's God's desire for our life, that we would be content wherever we're at. When things are good, when things are bad, Paul talks about that, that we would come to this place of contentment and allow ourselves to begin to experience His joy, His love, His peace, His goodness, His mercies, despite the circumstances that surround us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this past year, Lord. The challenges, the ups and downs, and the difficulties, Lord, but through it all, I have so much to be thankful for. I'm so thankful for Your hand upon my life. That I'm so thankful that, Lord, in the midst of the difficulties, Lord, that You are right there holding my hand, sometimes holding me in the midst of the situations, Lord. And I know that I couldn't have made it through some of the things that I dealt with last year if it weren't for You and Your hand upon my life, Lord. And so I thank You. And I pray that each of us understand, Lord, how thankful we should be, Lord, every day of our lives for what You've given us. Lord, even as we took communion this morning, it's a reminder a reminder of what we have to be thankful for, Lord. There are so many things that we have to be thankful for, and we thank you, Lord, that you are a God that never leaves us, that you're always right there with us. We thank you that you are a God that is compassionate, Lord, that we deserve none of what you give us, Lord, but you pour out your grace and your love upon us, and we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And we pray that you help us just to live the life that you've called us to live, to continue to thank you for who you are and all that you've done in our lives, Lord. We thank you for this word. And as we enter into 2018, Lord, I pray that we will be people who do our best to focus more on the positives than the negatives, Lord, that we spend more time thanking you than complaining to you, Lord, that you help us to live the lives that you've called us to live, to turn our story around, Lord Jesus, and to live in the way that you have called us to live. We thank you for these things. May you allow this word to encourage us, to challenge us, to penetrate our hearts, and to speak to each of us today, Lord. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.